So it's great to be here this morning. Well, I'm really happy to be here, and I can see that many of you are too. Welcome back to our Adventures in Acts. So for those of you who are regularly part of this church, you'll know that we've been looking at the book of Acts for quite a few months now. And I just want to tell you a little bit about the story so far. We're in Acts chapter 11 today, if you've got a Bible, but I want to just give a little recap. Up to now, Christianity has been more or less for Jews only. All the disciples, all the apostles were Jews, and they made the assumption that going with the good news meant telling fellow Jews about Jesus the Messiah and sharing with them the way of salvation. That's how things were. And fair enough, as we saw last week, the original instruction to the 12 was to reach out to the people of Israel. But Jesus, in fact, had subsequently told them, go into all the world. And so things are about to change. Through an extraordinary mix of visions and angelic messages and encounters with the Holy Spirit, Cornelius, a Roman army officer, gets to hear the good news. He and his household are filled with the Holy Spirit. They're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Cornelius and co. are, of course, Gentiles. They are non-Jews. And Peter, who up to now has been something of a racist, believing that only Jews could be accepted as Christian believers, he has now to have a complete change of mindset and to accept and embrace the fact that God shows no favoritism. So what happens next? We're going to read from Acts chapter 11 and the first 18 verses of that chapter. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it's headed in my Bible, Peter explains his actions. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles had received the word of God. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them, they said. Then Peter told them exactly what had happened. I was in the town of Joppa, he said, and while I was praying, I went into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. When I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of tame and wild animals, reptiles and birds. And I heard a voice say, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. No, Lord, I replied, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean. But the voice from heaven spoke again. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. This happened three times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back up to heaven. Just then, three men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry that they were Gentiles. These six brothers here accompanied me, and we soon entered the home of the man who had sent for us. He told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and had told him, send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He will tell you how you and everyone in your household can be saved. As I began to speak, Peter continued, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? When the others heard this, they stopped objecting and began praising God. They said, "We can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life." Shock, horror. News reaches the church leaders that Gentiles have become Christians. And it is all Peter's fault. He spent time meeting with Gentiles and even eating with them. That is not kosher. Peter is called to explain himself, and so he tells them exactly what happened. And if you missed it a couple of weeks ago when Jean was preaching, well, here it is on catch-up. Peter explains, and his story goes something like this. The Holy Spirit was powerfully at work to orchestrate everything. I have this bizarre vision. God telling me to feast on all the meat and Jewish food that is actually strictly prohibited. And a voice from heaven saying this, "Don't call something unclean if God has made it clean." This coincided with the arrival of three men sent by Cornelius. He too had had an angel giving him very precise instructions, right down to my address in Joppa, and a clear message: go and get Peter. He'll tell you how you and everyone in your household can be saved. That's how Peter recounts what happened. And he continues, "Do you know, I'd only just started talking with Cornelius and his household when the Holy Spirit fell on them. Just like at Pentecost. Well, that convinced me. If God baptized these Gentiles with the Holy Spirit as he did us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" Well, that was all that the Jerusalem leaders needed to hear. No more quibbling, no more criticizing, just praise and thanks to God that the privilege of repenting and receiving eternal life is for everyone. Reading through chapter 11, I notice a few things. I notice that Luke, the author of Acts, is doing four different things. First of all, he's repeating himself. Well, yeah, we know he's repeating himself because if you were here 2 or 3 weeks ago, you will have heard more or less the same story. It's there in chapter 10. And so he's retelling the story that has already been very well told. Second thing he's doing, he's emphasizing the activity of the Holy Spirit in the lives of new and established believers. Thirdly, he's explaining the way of salvation, repentance, forgiveness, new life, and baptism. And fourthly, he shows the life-changing impact of faith in Jesus. And I want this morning to look at those four different things. First of all, Luke repeats the story. The gospel is for Gentiles as well as Jews. Do you know, this was such an unexpected headline. God has no favorites. The good news is for all. And you can imagine this story of Peter and Cornelius being told time and time and time again. It was so remarkable that Jewish believers needed to hear it to go through it, to authenticate it, so that they could come to terms with the fact that uncircumcised Gentiles could be their fellow Christians. You could almost hear one Jewish Christian saying to another, "Do you know, you won't believe what's happened to Peter. God has told him to share the good news, the gospel, with Gentiles." This was shocking news. Just to get the message across, Luke tells the story twice. And he reports here how Peter is called to account for what has been going on. Storytelling is such a good way of sharing the good news. Remember, Jesus was the master storyteller. The story of the Good Samaritan, stories of the lost son and the lost sheep, the story of the sower and the seed and the soil. Jesus told these stories to illustrate just how much the Father loves us and how he longs to welcome us back when we've wandered away, and how to receive the gospel. Every one of us has a story of how we first met Jesus, a story of how God has heard and answered our prayers, a story of a word of encouragement, of revelation that has come at just the right moment, a story of how God's given us the courage to speak the name of Jesus. You may be thinking, well, I'm not very good at speaking, or I'm not an evangelist. I don't know where to start when it comes to sharing my faith. That used to be my reaction when I heard a preach like this. Oh no, he's on it again. I can't possibly speak out. The fact is, if we have invited Jesus into our lives, we can expect the Holy Spirit to give us something to say. Something very simple. Some word of encouragement. Some fact about what's happened this week. Some really good piece of news that has come as someone has given us a word of encouragement. Some story, some testimony, some acknowledgement of God's goodness to us when we get talking to people. People you meet in the town, the people that you meet at work, your neighbors. Stories are memorable. They get repeated. They wake people up. They wake us all up to the reality of our relationship with Jesus. What's your story? I'm not talking about your life story. Every detail. I'm not talking about the whole gospel story from beginning to end. I'm just talking about a story. Maybe you'd like to just share it for a moment with someone sitting near you, just in pairs. Just one piece of news, one story of how God is working in your life. You have 2 minutes, starting now. Okay, it's lovely to hear lots and lots of people sharing just very simple stories of what God is doing in our lives, of the reality of our faith in Jesus. Luke tells the story of Peter and Cornelius twice. Read through Acts and you'll see that he tells the story of Paul's encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road three times. Well, that was the most extraordinary story. Stories are worth repeating. We've heard so many wonderful stories recently of what God is doing in the lives of different people. And they build our faith. You have a story. Secondly, Luke emphasizes the activity of the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, Peter explains, the Holy Spirit told me to go with them. It seems from chapter 10 that Peter heard an audible voice. We don't know exactly how the Holy Spirit convinced Peter that this was the right thing to do. But certainly Peter had the most almighty nudge. The coincidence of the vision and the voice telling him to break with centuries of Jewish identity and tradition, the arrival of three messengers at the right time at the right address. This is more than coincidence. This is the Holy Spirit at work, orchestrating everyone and everything to effect the salvation of Cornelius and to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. What clinches it for Peter? Verse 15, the fact that the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at Pentecost. Peter's been in full flow. Peter was a great preacher. He loved to, once he had the opportunity, he just went for it. And he's been in full flow explaining the way of salvation. Everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven. And he hasn't even got time to lead them all in a salvation prayer before they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they start speaking in tongues. Hang on a minute, I haven't quite got... There it goes. They start speaking in tongues and praising God. Verse 17, I love Peter's honesty. Who was I to stand in God's way? Luke, the author of Acts, loves to show how the Holy Spirit transforms the lives of both new and established Christians. And I love the excitement, the passion that there is in these stories as lives are changed. I like to describe Totnes United Free Church as a word and spirit church. The preaching and teaching of God's word is important to us. That's what we're doing this morning. And we encourage everyone to read and to study the Bible. Equally, we believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for all of us today. And we encourage one another to use these gifts in our worship services and in our private devotions. The Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to each one of us personally. It's not just an academic exercise, this. It is the wonderful gift of God's Holy Spirit. So, what do you do when you wake at night and you can't get back to sleep? Go over and over, turning and thinking, will I ever get back to sleep? Why on earth am I going over and over that irrelevant story or that irrelevant piece of news for tomorrow? I've started to pray, come Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall on me. Holy Spirit, fill me. We are invited to do that. It's a great prayer to pray at the start of each day. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. What a wonderful thing to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. And we're encouraged to be filled, to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is the presence of Jesus in our lives to help us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to lead us into all truth, to transform us from the inside out. If you read on in chapter 11, you'll see the description of Barnabas. At verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. A good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. May that be said of you and me. Thirdly, Luke explains the way of salvation. Did you know that the believers were first called Christians in chapter 11 of Acts. Up to now, they've been called followers of Jesus, followers of the way, and probably a few other unrepeatable things. Now they have a nickname, and that's exactly what it is, and it catches on. They are Christians, Christ's people, those who believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And this name sticks. Luke loves to explain how people become Christians, how people become followers of Jesus. And in this chapter alone, he uses lots of different expressions. Verse 14, how to be saved. Verse 18, repenting of sins and receiving eternal life. Verse 17, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, believing and turning to the Lord. And there's a real sense of excitement as he recounts this story of Cornelius and his household becoming Christians. It's such good news. Gentiles are believing in Jesus too. And Jewish believers start praising God, the God who has no favorites. And the next step? The next step is baptism. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that as soon as people became Christians, they were baptized in water. And Peter's message to the crowds on the day of Pentecost was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Holly and I had the privilege of hosting Alpha last term. Did you know that the stated aim of Alpha is this? To help to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'll repeat that. To help to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we don't actually announce that on week one of the course because, you know, some people are just there to see what's going on and because they're just inquiring. And the thought of us leading people and encouraging people to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is not exactly on everyone's mind. But the great thing about this particular course and this group, and what we really loved about it is this, the fact that everyone has been so intentional about discovering faith in Jesus, about confirming their faith in Jesus, about their spiritual journey. It's been a spiritually hungry group. And we've loved being part of that. Some of you are here this morning. Some of you have done previous Alpha courses. Many people in this church have actually come to faith through doing the Alpha course. It's a great way of discovering a relationship with Jesus Christ. The group that we were leading last term continues to meet each week. And we have rebranded it. It's now called Alphabet. I thought that was really good. Polly thinks it's really corny. But I think it's actually quite good. Because if you think about it, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet are Alpha and Omega. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And it's all about the ABC of following Jesus. Alphabet. Yeah, it's got a real ring about it. Good, thank you. I'm glad some of you like it. Why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you this because most of this group can now say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, a Christian. That's such good news. Okay, lots of rejoicing going on. Because the other thing about the reason I'm telling you this is because we're starting to talk about the next step, which is being baptized. And just in case you're wondering, we've also put a date in our church diary. It's March the 10th, when we will fill our baptistry. Some of you are actually sitting on top of the baptistry. If you didn't know where it is, it's just there. You're quite safe at the moment. But the baptistry will be filled, and we will encourage people who have become Christians to be baptized. And so if you're a follower of Jesus and you've not yet been baptized, do talk to Polly or me afterwards, and we'll tell you all about it. That will be a great day of celebration. There's a story in chapter 11 about a large number of Gentiles becoming Christians in Antioch. The church in Jerusalem, they're the same lot who quizzed Peter about leading Cornelius to faith. They send Barnabas to check out what's going on. Not more Gentiles becoming Christians. And in verse 23, when Barnabas arrives and he saw this evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. I love that. Barnabas was filled with joy. No wonder he was called the son of encouragement, Barnabas. Jesus says there's joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God. There is rejoicing in heaven. They're throwing a party. It is such good news. So Luke repeats the story. He emphasizes the activity of the Holy Spirit. He explains the way of salvation. And finally, he shows the life-changing impact of faith in Jesus. Acts is packed with stories of people whose lives are transformed as they say yes to Jesus. In this chapter alone, we read about Peter, Cornelius, Barnabas, Saul, also known as Paul, and Agabus. For all of them, their direction of travel was changed, and they devoted their lives to following Jesus. Jesus became Lord of their lives, the one they served and honored and obeyed. And that's the call on our lives too, to serve and honor and obey the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want to end with a quote from Lectio 365, which impacted me this week. When I became a Christian, I didn't join a self-help group. I became a member of God's family with a call to live a life of sacrifice, one that would lead me to help others. Let's pray.